Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel. We are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Welcome, everyone, to Star Trek From the Holodeck. I'm the captain. The best captain. All of those questionnaires and memes on social media asking, who is the best captain? Well, ask no further. Look no further. Hey, it's Captain Michael Flores, the first Mexican
captain. The first captain Mexican captain.
Of Starfleet. And my ensign. The very first Filipino.
Yeah, because you don't want to trust a Filipino behind the comm.
What, Filipinos don't know how to fly ships, or?
Dude, we're Asian.
What does that mean?
Asians can't drive.
Well, Sulu, did a Sulu fly the Enterprise? Is he not Asian? Does he not count, David?
He doesn't count because Sulu is, he's so special.
Okay. he's a rare case?
Yeah, he's a rare case. He's like someone that we hold up in homage.
All right.
All other Asians pale in comparison.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So today we are here again with a little bit of Star Trek news. We just can't get enough Star Trek, can we, Dave? Usually we take breaks after we run through a series breakdown, and yet we find ourselves needing more Star Trek. Probably because we didn't feel very great about Picard, and maybe we needed to
clear our palate.
Cleanse the palate. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Got to cleanse the palate. We had an old Chardonnay. It didn't taste great, and now we're drinking a nice, robust, dark red. Right? That's what we've been trying to do.
Yeah, and that Chardonnay was called Chibon.
Oh. I've been plow driving myself with Star Trek lately. It is Voyager. I mean, I always watch anyways, like my rewatches, but I've been watching even more just to like, this is why I love Star Trek. This is why I love Star Trek.
This is why. It's all because of this, not you.
Yeah.
I have to agree. I mean, like the last couple of months after Picard, I've really tried to cleanse my palate by watching more, rewatching Deep Space Nine. Absolutely. I mean, I'm getting close to saying Sisko is my favorite captain.
He's really damn fucking good, Dave.
If I had a choice to follow, hell, you know, everyone says, oh, I would follow Kirk and Picard into oblivion. I don't know. I know at least if I'm following Sisko, I'm going to come back.
Well, Dave, they always say, once you go black, you don't go back. So, you know.
Yeah.
That goes for captains as well.
That goes for captains.
Once you get a little Sisko in your life.
And then there's Kate. I mean, you can't go wrong with Janeway.
Oh, Kate, dude. Nobu. You know what? I've never appreciated her as much as I do now. She didn't really connect with me as a viewer during the original Voyager run. Like, I didn't dislike her. She was fine. But now with my rewatches and as I grow older and more mature, like, I totally dig her.
Dude, people make fun of my crushes in Star Trek, but I'll be honest. Kate Mulgrew was one of my crushes.
I didn't say anything about a crush, pervert. But don't get me wrong. That mature, like, pecan pie-eating captain.
I can understand why Q wanted to mate with her.
Yeah. She will not be sexualized. She will not let 709's big old boobs intimidate her. Because she's confident.
She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it. No, but on a serious note here, I've completely become 100% pro Janeway. It's really hard to even decide, like, yo, you know how people say, oh, they're so definitive with their comments. Oh, Captain Kirk. Oh, Picard's the best. There is no better captain. I'm like, well, that's come on. Let's maintain some objectivity here.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
I think their strengths so far, David, over the course of 50 years, we can say this. Each captain is very unique.
Yes.
They're very different. We've had no carbon copies yet.
No. I mean, that's the thing. That's the tough, really the tough question that I find myself asking sometimes when I'm doing these retrospectives. I used to basically just be the atypical Star Trek fan who says Kirk or Picard. Yeah. But when you take a look at all the captains, even down to Archer, every captain is unique in their own way and kind of charismatic in their own way. Yeah. I mean, like, we know about Kirk and Picard. I've just made allusions to Sisko. The thing about Sisko, he is the perfect leader in times of crisis that you would want. Like, the way he handles everything is just matter of fact, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to get through it. And I'm not going to let any of you down.
And also, I mean, there's definitely an argument to be made that he might be, on paper, not your personal favorite, but on paper, there might be an argument to be made here that Sisko might be the best captain, because has there been a captain tested as much as Sisko? Think about this, okay? Not only did he have to balance between religious icon and not allowing that to consume him, create arrogance, dissuade him from decisions, he had to maintain a rationale, but also he was tasked with moral questions pertaining to war and combat, the act of war, being on Earth's
front lines,
being basically on the front lines of war, but also being on Earth's soil and being responsible for whether or not you enact martial law. Do you go with martial law because of fear? How far do you go during war? I don't think there's been a captain that has been tested as much as Sisko.
As much as Sisko, yeah. And I mean, like, that's the thing about Sisko. And then when you get to Janeway, the reason why Janeway is so special, especially in my eyes, not just because I had a crush on her, but also Janeway as a human being is truly the one captain that looked at her crew and treated them as family. And they're all different people, but she treated them as family and was willing to show she would sacrifice everything for her family. And yeah, you have those bonds of Kirk and his crew, but
for sure,
Janeway, it wasn't just a select few. It's everyone on that damn ship that is her family, down to even the red shirts.
She was the matriarch.
Yeah, she was the matriarch. That's what she ended
up becoming, yeah.
And like, if you think about it, yes, Kirk cared for his crew. Picard, of course, you have the TNG crew. But we're talking Janeway was the one who would be sad if a random character died.
Well, dude, I would even throw her into the ring with Sisko. Who's the better captain? I mean, I don't know two other captains that were tested regularly. Like, Void, yes, Janeway did make questionable decisions later as the seasons ticked by. But if you look at it again objectively, you can understand why she made those decisions. The fact that they were all alone, there was no help. They were at the mercy of countless alien species. So the decisions she made, while also maintaining a certain amount of Starfleet principle and Federation principle, was to be commended, you know, for the writers, you know, for the writers doing their part to just completely map out a captain that feels real and someone that you can get behind and understand the decisions they make.
Yeah. I'd get behind her.
Yeah, she needs a real man. Chakotay just couldn't do it. Him and his Hakuchi Moye. Listen, Chakotay, you were cool for like two seasons, and then you had a weird haircut, and you just lost your coolness.
And you lost your swagger, because then Seven of Nine came along, and, well, we understand why you lost a lot of your swagger because, hey, it's 7 of 9.
Listen, 7 of 9 is the easy way out. Like, she's hot. That's just how it is. But then you have a complicated woman like Janeway.
Like Janeway.
Like, yeah. I'm with you on that, Dave. Like, she needs a strong, strong person. And someone who's also willing to bend a bit and know that, listen, you're not going to make all the calls because a woman like Janeway will make all the decisions for you.
And that's why it was beautiful, the relationship between her and Q, because it was perfect.
Yeah. All right. So there's a rumor going around, Dave, and I want to know how you feel about this because I am not sure. So I'm hoping over the next 5 to 10 minutes, you and I can talk through this and then it will help me come to a conclusion. Because right now, I just don't know how I feel about it. According to various reports, Rosario Dawson has voiced her thoughts. Or I should say, she has thrown her hat into the ring, saying, I want to play you in Star Trek.
Okay.
Discovery and Picard.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Rosario Dawson was on hand for a Briar Patch Q&A, which, by the way, is an amazing show. Watch it. Where she also revealed that her Star Wars, we already know this, the Mandalorian Season 2 casting has not yet been confirmed. But she's all but confirmed it.
Yes.
But she has said, I'm hoping, and I'm not trying to be greedy, but since we are talking about Star Wars and we are talking about fan casting, if I get the Mandalorian, it is a 1,000,001% because of fans. Also, the Star Trek, okay? That's it. I'm just putting it out there. The two universes, Star Trek and Star Wars. I get in those two. I'm telling you, that's it. I will just retire, she said to Trek Movie. So does the Briar Patch actress see herself playing? So who does the Briar Patch actress see herself playing in Star Trek? You, naturally. According to this report here. Now, John DeLancey originally starred as the most well-known Q. Now, I'm a little ashamed by a lot of these articles. Once again, Dave, this has become a show of late where I just kind of point my finger at all the blogs out there that don't know what they write about. Because the headlines and the subsequent reporting within said headlines, it seems like they don't know who Q is. Or they nor do they understand the Q continuum and the Q species as a whole, because they say Rosario Dawson wants to play a female Q or wants to play Q, and they immediately go to John DeLancey and they hypothetically put together all these scenarios of how Q can be a female now, and hey, you know, he doesn't look like that to begin with. He can look like anyone. And I'm like, well, wait a second.
You do realize
that Rosario Dawson could very well be a Q. She doesn't have to be
the Q.
The Q. The Q that John DeLancey played. She could be any Q.
Yeah.
And we have seen female Qs before. In fact, I think, if memory serves me right, in Voyager, Q actually had the first Q sex.
Yes.
With a female, because they created a Q baby through
fucking. Yeah, I remember that.
And that's not how they usually made their species, but they did it to prevent a civil war.
Yes.
So none of this is fucking new, bloggers.
And that's the thing, is like when I see these bloggers, I'm like going, damn it. You people are all Iotians.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. All right. So that being said, okay. I would have no problem. I totally dig Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
I think she's a more than capable as an actor. I would like to see her.
Yeah.
In Star Trek. And I like that she says Discovery and Picard, because, hey, let's create some consistency across the board here. But my only thing is this. Is the character of Q and the Q continuum and all the other characters that were introduced always served a purpose?
Yes.
It wasn't about, hey, guys, it's Q. He's going to create some problems. And let's get this straight. And you can hear our entire discussion. I believe we're on part 7 right now via our Patreon, where we completely break down Q and the purpose of his character. We get really deep. So go to patreon.com/RainmanDigital and pledge $5 or more a month, and you can gain access to all of our Q discussions. It's ongoing. We're still working on it. But Q is not a villain, number one. Let's just get that out there.
Yes.
Never been a villain. He's never played a villain. He's never been written as a villain. And if you understand writing and understand what you're watching, he's never been a villain.
Anyone, any Star Trek fan that basically tells me that Q is a villain, I kind of look at them and roll my eyes.
He's not a villain.
He's not a villain.
Now, perhaps when you're writing a story, okay, because Western literature requires a protagonist and an antagonist, or some type of obstacle that comes in the form of an antagonist, okay? Sometimes we rewrite people into the antagonist aspect. But when you look at the overall story of Q and his purpose, he's never been this malevolent entity that was keen on hurting anyone. He was always about, when you really look at the episodes, he was about helping.
Helping and learning.
He was about helping and learning. Lessons to be learned. And that's what his, from a literary standpoint, he was designed to pose questions to the audience in a subtle way.
Yeah.
To pose questions on ethics, morals, things that would allow the writers to just go crazy on the episode.
Yeah.
It gave them new writing avenues. That's why the Q character is so fucking genius, mm-hmm. even on Voyager. And I was afraid that, hey, you know what? Don't fucking take from TNG to put on Voyager because you need ratings. But in retrospect, when you look at the parts Q played, even in Voyager, it wasn't so much about Picard anymore, because that's what Q did. Q was always there to flesh out Picard a bit more, right?
Yes.
Well, in Voyager, it became about Q and fleshing out Q as his own character and helping us understand him. And there also was various social messages.
Messages.
There. So Q was never a villain. He was a literary device that created avenues for the writers to take our story down.
He's the perfect literary device for Gene Roddenberry. In essence, Q is kind of like that stand-in for Roddenberry, because Roddenberry always has wanted to make the audience learn a lesson, learn a moral, kind of think about it, think about humanity and what it means to be human. And that's what Q's story is. If you look at all the episodes that he did, he deals with the episodes with Q deal with questions of suicide, birth, family, questioning about
maturity, evolution. I mean, the very first time we met him during Encounter at Farpoint, are you worthy to travel the stars? Are you going to muck things up? Are you going to fuck it up?
Yeah.
Are you ready to explore the stars? I will be watching.
Yeah, really. It's really he's the type of character that I'm like going, he's not a villain. He's an antagonist
at times, only because, again, Western literature requires it in some of our writing.
Yeah, but the antagonist, the part. He's there to make the other character think.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. He's not out to kill the other character. He's there to kind of guide the character along their path.
Yeah, he's great. So bringing it back to our topic, if they are going to use Rosario Dawson in that regard, if this in fact ends up being a thing, then I can get on board. But I'm not on board with just bringing characters back for no reason.
Exactly.
That's why I was not sold at first about bringing Pike, number one, and Spock into Star Trek Discovery. And yet they ended up doing wonders with those three characters without distracting from our immediate story. But no, you bring him in to aid and assist in the development of that show. And that's why I look back fondly on the second season of Star Trek Discovery, because of how they utilized these characters. They weren't introduced simply because, hey, guys, put your hands together. Spock is back.
Yeah.
It wasn't about nostalgia. It was about story number one, nostalgia second.
Yes.
So if they bring Q back into the equation, not because of nostalgia, not because it's what fans want, but because of story. Story dictates it. Then I'm on board. I don't care who plays them.
Yeah.
Honestly,
if you want an easy way of looking at it, I wouldn't agree if they brought her in just for nostalgia's sake. Like you said, let's make her John DeLancey's replacement. Right.
Right.
No. But if you were to take something like that's from Star Trek lore, make her the freaking child that Q had. Fine. Oh. Make her the child of Q. And that would be perfect. Rosario Dawson plays the child of Q. And I don't know what you would do with her. You know, maybe she comes into Picard and plays around with Picard because she's...
Come on, is this a sexual joke here?
Well, she toys around with Picard because, her dad tells her stories of the great Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, but then that begs the question, why isn't the Q actually popping up? So,
well, it would make sense because if you think about it, Q would have actually evolved by that point. He would have gone.
20 years later, in the grand scheme of a lifetime of Q, that does it. That's like a second.
That's true.
Yeah. So you are just, you know what, Dave? Usually you don't make those type of blundering mistakes.
I almost was there.
David,
your
biggest mistake is you just want Q.
Yes, I do.
You said it all of Star Trek Picard. You're like, Q, please bring Q. And I'm like, David, tell me what he would do for the story right now. And they go, I don't know. It's Q.
He would fix it right now.
Well, if he can snap away Shaban.
Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome.
You won't do. Snap. Away. Let's get meta with this. So, all right, Dave, we have some other news that, again, let's just call it out. Let's call it how we see it, Dave. Take this as
a grain of salt.
Yes, because it does come from a site called We Got This Covered. Yes. And they're quickly becoming the tabloid site of fandoms. A lot of people believe them for about a year, and then more and more of their information just seems to be fabricated. And then they try to back up their stories. I'm not joking. They back up their stories with stories that they have written.
Yes.
So it's what you learn not to do in English class in college. Guess what? You cite your sources, and your sources can't be your mom, and it can't be you.
Yeah, it can't be you.
All right. So reportedly, Star Trek IV is eyeing Jennifer Lawrence to play a classic character. The said character was previously played by Majel Barrett and Rebecca Romijn. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's number one. So according to We Got This Covered, the next Star Trek movie is looking to bring in another character from Star Trek, the original series, to the Kelvin timeline. Now, see, this is why it seems a little false, because didn't Noah Hawley just say that he's doing something completely different?
Yes.
So I don't see how or why he would continue the Kelvin timeline. Again, there's a lot of questions to be answered.
Yeah.
Right? So this could be. Okay, well,
let's toy with this.
Yeah, let's go with the line of thinking that this is true. Okay, now when I first read this, I don't want Jennifer Lawrence playing.
Number one.
Because we had literally less than a year ago, we saw Rebecca Romijn play her in Star Trek Discovery, and she was exceptional.
Yeah, she was perfect.
She was just, yes, perfect. There's no reason to replace her. Now, this is taking place in the Kelvin timeline. And yes, it is part of the Star Trek continuity overall. It just takes place in another universe. I'm actually okay with that. I'd prefer not to see a bunch of new actors playing characters that are literally playing the same character in a TV show that's running at the same time. Because it makes it feel inconsistent, and Star Trek has never been inconsistent. Star Trek all the way back to the original series into the movies that were coming out during TNG. Everything was just tied so neatly together.
Yeah.
And between the movies and the TV shows, and to have different actors playing the same characters at the exact same time, dude, to me, that feels fucking sloppy. And it makes it feel like they just don't give a fuck what they're doing. They're exactly. just trying to cash a check.
They're trying to cash a check. And like, here's the thing. So you mean to tell me that we're going to get essentially a movie with number one in it, which means you're probably going to have to cast a Pike. Mm-hmm. And if it's in the Kelvin timeline, we already had a actor playing Pike
at this. Yeah. And that's right. We already had a Pike that died.
That died. So the only reason why I'm like thinking you could bring in Jennifer Lawrence is if you do a prequel of number one Pike and David, Spock.
If we go
in
back,
the Kelvin timeline.
Now I would shoot myself. If they do a prequel to a prequel
to a prequel
to a reboot, to a reboot. I fucking quit.
Thank you. That was what I was leading up
David,
to.
David, why do you do things to make me angry? Why do you do this to me? So, only you, David.
So, ta-da.
I hate
you. This is why I'm like going, I pray to God that this is not true.
Okay, David, I'm going to say it right now. If they do a prequel
to a reboot,
I fucking quit. I'm telling you right now, Dave, I will not go see the movie. I don't care how fucking good it is. If you can't move past the past, you're a fucking asshole. There's no reason. Move forward.
That's what I was like thinking to myself is like, you realize how much of a shit show that is going to be. A prequel to a prequel to a reboot. Dude,
if Gene Roddenberry was looking down on us right now, he'd be laughing. And not because he thinks it's funny. He would be mocking everyone.
You're a motherfuckers can't be original.
He's all, this is the last time I leave my sons in control of my estate. Bunch of asshole children just want my money. Make good decisions, kids. Come on.
But Dad, a prequel to a prequel of a reboot will fix everything.
A prequel to a prequel of a reboot
will fix everything.
In an alternate timeline.
Well, here's the thing. An alternate timeline that basically, I know for a fact, God. Star Trek fans are going to say, well, yeah, what happened after the Narada? How did that change history?
Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden, I'm going to be like going, why are we answering this question that doesn't need to be answered?
I'm hoping this is.
I could see the rage, you know, the aura building.
The biggest reason why I think this is a bad idea is because I honestly think their movie is looking at them right in the face. You have Anson Mount that plays Pike. He's already an A-list.
Yes.
Okay. He's not an A-list like Brad Pitt or Jennifer Lawrence, but he's A-list.
A-list.
He's charismatic. He has screen presence. If you were to cast him with yes, I know we need those younger faces for the big theatrical debuts. That's just how it is. Cast an ensign, cast some other miscellaneous characters with younger faces. That's your fucking movie. It's already built in. You have Pike, Spock, and number one. It's built in.
And then you can actually bring in new characters.
And
new
for characters. Once, we can have the TV shows directly connected to the movies again.
And see how easy this would be, Mike. This is the easiest solution.
But this is why Star Trek fans should be in charge of Star Trek. Now, I'm not saying Star Trek fans should write Star Trek because you need to be a writer. And I will always stand by that. Fans don't always make the best writing decisions because it is hard to write.
And there's fan fiction as example.
Yes. So please, let's not reinvent the wheel, especially when the wheel works fine and someone's handing you a gold one. It's right there.
Meanwhile, I don't want to say Kurtzman is looking at this going, I think I'll make a prequel.
I'm hoping this is not true. Now, if they're going to continue the Kelvin timeline moving forward, and we're not going to deal with Captain Kirk directly because, you know, Chris Pine wants more money.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's shelve it for the time being, but we want to still dabble within the Kelvin timeline, and you want to bring Jennifer Lawrence in as number one, and you want to do another story with other characters. Fine. I'm okay with that. I get it. But none of this going back. We need to move forward. Right, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. That's why I was waiting to see if, like, your rage meter would reach my rage meter, because that's how my mind broke on this.
My rage meter is bigger than your rage meter because of genetics, David.
The only thing calming me down is just looking at pictures of young Janeway and basically going,
young yes, Janeway.
Yes, Kate Milgrew.
Jesus. Calm down.
Calming there. Effect. It's a calming effect.
All right. So Star Trek Discovery and Lower Decks work continues by remote despite the coronavirus pandemic that's sweeping the nation, sweeping the world globally. The developing coronavirus pandemic is affecting people all around the globe and disrupting all industries, including, of course, the entertainment industry. The world of Star Trek is being impacted as well, from the shows to merchandise and events. Working from home could slow Discovery Season 3 post-production. Most movie and television production in USA and Canada has been shut down or put on hiatus during March and April and possibly into May due to concerns over the spread of COVID-19. However, production on the third season of Star Trek Discovery was completed before the shutdowns, having wrapped up in Canada in February. The show is currently in post-production, much of which is done in the Los Angeles area, which is on lockdown by order of the state of California, but work is still being done remotely. This working from home was mentioned over the weekend by Discovery actor Anthony Rapp, who remotely joined Wilson Cruz in an Instagram live stream, responding to a fan query. Rapp noted that the shift to working from home is slower. He says they're currently editing and doing visual effects for season 3, but it's shifting to work from home, so it'll be slower than usual. No word yet on how long that will take or when it will be released.
That answers my question that I had, because, like, I was originally thinking, how are they continuing everything with the quarantine? But now that knowing that shooting's already done, they finished it up, they moved to post-production, and it's now down to editing and visual effects, I can understand why they are continuing work. Because, yes, you can work from home doing editing and stuff like that.
Well, I can't imagine it slowing down the process that much. I mean, not
the one that I'm kind of curious if it slowed it down at all is Lower Decks. Because Lower Decks, you'd think that basically Lower Decks can be done definitely remotely, but I don't want to say that animation's easier than cinematic editing, but to me, I would think that the workflow would be much more easier animation wise.
Well, I have an answer for you, Dave. According to Michael McMahon, remote work not impacting Lower Decks yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the other anticipated Star Trek show is the animated comedy Star Trek Lower Decks, which you're talking about. Also headed to CBS All Access, the series was officially announced, of course, about 2 years ago now, year and a half, but animated shows have a long development cycle. On Sunday, show creator and executive producer Mike McMahon answered a fan inquiry on Twitter about development on Lower Decks and his upcoming Hulu series, not Sulu. Now, that'd be kind of cool. His upcoming Hulu series, Solar Opposites, where he revealed that delivery has not been impacted for either show with remote work. And he tweets, so far, both Lower Decks and Solar Cruise have been able to work remotely. Delivery hasn't yet been impacted. The situation changes every day, so that may not be true tomorrow. But I'm proud that we're still working full time and that the shows are looking great. Well, that goes right back to Star Trek Discovery Season 3 as well. I mean, more than one person is in editing. Typically, one person edits They get a tentative lock on picture. It's then reviewed by another on a TV show. It really depends. The executive producer, the showrunner, maybe with CBS executives, but typically they allow the showrunners to do their work. And then you give your sign off, or you sign off on it. Then it hits editing. Then it hits soundtrack. And typically that's all done remotely anyways. In fact, there's tons of software, Avid, Adobe, Premiere, even Sony Vegas now from the low end.
Yes.
They have remote programs set up. All you do is push a button, sends out a link to your collaborator, and they can view exactly what you're doing in real time. So I don't see any of this really being halted by the coronavirus, honestly. As long as the picture was completely wrapped on set shooting, I should say, then I don't see any of this being a problem. I think it comes down to possibly ADR. Now, if there's ADR and additional sound that needs to be made, Foley, ADR, sound editing, then that might blow things up for sure, because that requires people to be around each other for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm actually really looking forward to Lower Decks, Dave.
Same here. I mean, like, Lower Decks, I mean, the one shining episode we got in Short Treks that basically they said that this is the type of humor we're going to see in Lower Decks was still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. and if we get that type of comedy in Lower Decks, I think we're in for something really special.
And I'm hoping it's a little mature. And I'm not one of those mature star people where everything has to have a mature label, but we're dealing with one of the co-writers of Rick and Morty. And Rick and Morty is, I'll just say it, it's a genius show. It's really fucking clever. It's smart. There is usually, there's a heart to it. There's emotion, but it's also covered up with a lot of dick and fart jokes and sexual perversion. But at its core, it's a really intelligent show. So yeah. They tackle this like that. And I'm not saying it needs to have sex and gore, but if they tackle it the same way, slightly mature, but at its core, there is, of course, humor. But at its core, you have a true story. You have a soul.
Then exactly.
This is going to be a win.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, I really, it's one of the things that basically the same writing team that did the, I can't remember the name of the Short Treks episode right now, but it had the cast of Archer. And one of the most classic characters that basically used his own DNA with a tribble.
Oh, yeah.
And tried to solve the problem of starvation.
You know, Dave, I think we're the only ones that liked that episode of Short Treks.
I don't know why people don't like it. It was fucking
good.
It was funny.
It was really funny, dude. It was really funny.
Yeah, when he's screaming, I am not an idiot. And then gets run over by all the tribbles. It's so funny.
I'm going to watch it again tonight.
And like, and that was supposed to be kind of like a tease of like what Lower Decks could bring humor wise. I'm like, that's fantastic. That would be so fun. And this is what we need as Star Trek. If you want to bring in unique IPs, you know, something that basically even non-Star Trek fans can look at it and say, you know, I'm going to sit down and watch this entire season. I don't have to be a Star Trek fan to like it.
Yeah. Now, from the IDW side, comics are delayed. And typically, I'm not the hugest fan of many of the contemporary IDW comic books.
Except for one.
Well, they are being... I don't want to... You know what? Let me rephrase that, because there are good ones that are being made, but for the most part, not entirely thought-provoking. And if you're telling a story in the Star Trek universe, it's got to be thought-provoking.
It's got
to
be
thought-provoking. I don't care if it's a comic book, which is considered low art to many people. I don't give a fuck. If it has the Star Trek name on it, it's got to be thought-provoking. And there's a series right now that you and I are covering every issue on our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RaymanDigital for our detailed breakdown and analysis of every issue. and it's called Star Trek Year 5. It's an amazing comic book. Amazing.
It's an amazing accomplishment, what they're able to be doing.
And I don't even want to say comic book, because comic book, unfortunately, for many people, give it this it gives it a funk. Well, it's a comic book. Stupid.
It's low quality.
It's for peasants. It's for children. It's low art. Fuck it. I don't want to read it. Don't think that, because this feels like the fifth season, which is supposed to be. It feels like the fifth season of Star Trek, the original series. Amazing writing. The characterization of our characters is spot on. These writers are handling it like a TV show. They're showrunners and then writers. It's a writing room. They break the story just like you break episodes as a group and you figure it all out. Unfortunately, it is delayed.
Yeah.
Nothing is being released. They will be reducing their upcoming comics releases through July, including all titles that were originally set to be released in May. The impact on specific Star Trek titles is not known yet, but it is likely that the titles starting in April through to the summer could be affected.
Absolutely, because especially with the announcement that Diamond Distributions is halting all, basically all deliveries and distributions, I guess you could say. But like, because they made that announcement, that's a game changer in comic books.
And oh yeah,
like,
aren't they pretty much the sole distributor of comics?
Yeah, pretty much.
So if they're not doing it,
they
can't get the comics out.
That's the problem. And like, now everyone basically thought, it's not going to be so bad.
Well, isn't that what happens when one company has a fucking monopoly? It serves you comic book publishing companies right, because you shouldn't be working with one fucking company.
Exactly. And it's really everyone thought this would not be a big problem, but now you're seeing the problems arising very slowly.
Yep.
And now it's basically the hill is becoming a mountain now. Because you're getting like news of like series like this saying we're going to have to delay it for 2 months. That's a long time for a series. That could hurt a lot of independent comic book companies, even shut them down.
Well, especially a company like IDW, because they're a smaller imprint.
Yeah, they're a smaller imprint than the big two. I mean, the big two are going to take big two as in Marvel and DC. They're going to take losses. But when it comes to like IDW or Boom Studios or even Dark Horse to some degree.
What about Image?
Or Image, they're going to be damaged majorly. They're going to be like losing probably some of them might actually even, there's even talk that some of them might even declare bankruptcy. Because if you're shut down for 2 months, that means that all those, you take losses for all those months that, all those weeks that you don't release books. So I'm hoping that basically that in regards to Star Trek, I'm hoping that basically IDW and the Star Trek franchise comic book wise can survive this, but it's going to be really tough because Star Trek in comics is not very popular. It's a very niche market.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you're a Star Trek fan and you haven't even thought of Star Trek Year 5, do yourself a favor. Pick it up. I'll drop a link in our podcast description. Click on the link. Purchase it through us. It helps us out. If you're going to get it, you might as well buy it through us. And do yourself a favor. Enjoy some Star Trek. Some genuine, authentic Star Trek. Right, Dave?
Yeah. We can actually say that this is the final season of the original series.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's really good.
All right, Dave. So let's go to a very quick break. And then when we get back, we'll jump into the rest of our discussions.
Cry havoc! And let's slip the dogs of war.
Everything!
Oh!
think it, it's in the movie.
It's almost like a what not to do for your film school.
Yeah, what not to do for dummies is a new book that I think Wes Miller is going to write for for film school rejects. How not to make a movie for dummies.
I'm not a writer by any stretch of the imagination, but even I think I could have pulled something off a tad bit better.
I think you have. I think you actually have on your iPhone a few times. You posted those little 30-second clips to Instagram stories and Instagram. Like, oh, yeah, that's pretty entertaining. Those little videos are more entertaining than this movie.
Wow.
The shit within the center of a toilet paper square after you wipe your asshole is more entertaining than this movie. Weird West Radio, exclusively on Rain Man Digital. Head over to rainmandigitalmedia.com or search for it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What are you looking at, nerd?
Huh? I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
Been a fan of Superman because I was never a fan of that overpowered character.
Oh, well, I'll shoot you then. Nope, I'm bulletproof. Well, then I'll cut you. Can't.
You don't need an entire 3-episode arc to give characters closure. There's little things that they're doing to give us that finale-ishness that we, that's not even a word, but I just made it.
That's so cool. Like, just to get that insight.
And I think that's what makes this movie special for me.
Right.
Is that we have the Batman I grew up with, the Joker I grew up with.
We shot him when we go to cons because he will chase after actors like, no, not if you're representing the show. If you're representing the show, do not chase after these people, please.
Exactly.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen from the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to pledge.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her.
Ooh.
And a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
Dumbass on you!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations. Go where no man has gone before.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Star Trek from the holodeck. If you missed any part of this broadcast, because we are broadcasting live right now, so if you're listening on our 24/7 stream, RM Channel 001 via TuneIn, you can find us on demand on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Just search Star Trek from the holodeck. Also, leave us reviews. Give us likes on Twitter and Facebook. That helps us out. All right, David. So LeVar Burton confirms discussions to appear in Star Trek Picard.
Okay. Okay. Number one, I'm glad he didn't show up because don't kill my one of my favorite characters.
I'm going to be very objective now.
Okay.
I will not allow myself to slip into any anger.
Okay.
Just going to report the news. Just like I always say, reporters, journalists, anchors on news should just report the news without their own opinions. That's what I'm about to do.
Okay.
Season one of Star Trek Picard included guest spots for a few members of the Star Trek The Next Generation cast, and now it looks like more of Sir Patrick Stewart's TNG co-stars could join him in season two. LeVar Burton talks Picard. Star Trek The Next Generation star LeVar Burton was interviewed by Remote on Entertainment Tonight and was asked if there was potential for him to reprise his role of the great Geordi LaForge on Star Trek Picard. The actor was cagey at first, saying he didn't want to get himself into trouble, indicating there was some secret to be kept. And then he hinted more directly, I think it is reasonable to assume that those people are still a part of Picard's life. Sure, what the hell? Yeah, absolutely. And then he laughs. When pressed, the actor made it even clearer. You will see us all. Probably not all at the same time, although never say never. So he isn't wrong. It would make sense. It's reasonable to assume that these people are still a part of his life. So I have no problems with that. I think that makes perfect sense. In fact, you and I had talked about this during the run of Picard, that it would make sense to see familiar faces.
Yeah.
As long as, because I think you and I are one of the few fans, Dave, and I will say this about us. We're not about nostalgia. Do we like nostalgia? Yes. Everyone loves nostalgia. Everyone likes the feelings of old. Like, oh yeah, I got the feelings again. I remember these things, you know, when I was 10, when I was 20, when I was 30. Brings back old emotions. There isn't a person alive that hates nostalgia.
Yes.
But I prefer story over any nostalgia. And there is a trend over the last 10 years. A lot of TV writers, movie writers, they feel like, hey, I don't have much talent in the way of writing a story, but if I could distract the audience with just a little bit of nostalgia,
jingle the keys,
they will forgive me for any potential plot issues, narrative meandering, because, hey, nostalgia, it got them all feeling good that we saw something familiar. They do this all the time nowadays.
Yeah.
So if they bring Geordi LaForge back, he has to play a role.
An important role. An
important role in the development of the story of season two. And if they do that, then you have my blessing.
Yes.
Because I'm still trying to wonder why Seven of Nine was put in the card.
Now, Mike.
What, Dave?
Remember, positive.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We don't dwell on the negative anymore. Let's not dwell on the negative. The thing that I do like about this is, yeah, LeVar Burton's right. I mean, the characters that were tied to Picard deserve to be in this series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're important to his legacy. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, will they all fit into the narrative? Like, I like the fact that they're talking about bringing in Whoopi Goldberg again.
That would make sense because she was vital to Picard's development.
As a
character.
You know, like, and I agree with LeVar Burton. It'd be great to bring the whole crew back together. It'd be great to bring back Gates McFadden and everybody in the TNG crew, because we all know that they're all tied to Picard, whether he likes it or not. And one of the positives of Picard in the season was actually showing that the characters that were tied to him are still important to him, like Riker and Deanna Troi.
Mm-hmm.
Those episodes, we still see that basically those characters still resonate to the character Picard and showed the importance to his legacy. And they were used properly. I'm not going to dwell on the negative. But again, when it comes to season two, you got a lot to make up for in the narrative issue. Why is LeVar Burton here? I can actually think of an easy, very easy way why Geordi is here. Geordi was tied to Data. He essentially, Geordi was kind of like that character that was always beside Data, watching him grow as a human being. And now we have Picard in a cybernetic body. And I could see Geordi coming back to kind of reprise that type of, you know,
when you say Picard in a cybernetic body.
I'm trying.
It's the stuff of satire.
I'm trying.
Like,
I'm trying.
Dude, who in the writing room? Like, hey, what if we put Picard in a cybernetic body?
Mike, remember.
It's the stuff that jokes are made of.
Mike, remember. We're trying. We gotta take
at least make a social statement with your stupidity. There wasn't even a social statement. It's like, oh, he's in a...
I know.
Someone on the internet tried to make a defense of this thing. Well, it's saying essentially we're just bags of meat, and the only thing that matters is our consciousness. I'm like, really?
Really? let's dwell on the positive. If they were to bring back Geordi in this role, that would make sense. It could help the narrative.
You know what could help the narrative, David? Having a new showrunner. All right, we better end this show because I'm getting angry already. We just need to stay away from all Picard topics for the foreseeable future.
Or anything titled Shaban.
Yeah. All right, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please forgive us for being malicious.
Yes.
Towards a show you might like. We tried. I want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you, David.
And remember, live long and prosper. Just not in a cybernetic body.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.